Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I first heard of our next guest when I was doing play-by-play for the Batavia Muck Dogs, and he was a member of the New Jersey Cardinals. I want to say, was it 2000? Or 2001, Coco, that you played for the Cardinals, New Jersey Cardinals.
The New Jersey Cardinals. That was 2000.
Okay, 2000. So I was doing play-by-play for Batavia. You remember the Batavia Muck Dogs in the Penn League? You remember that team?
Yeah.
And you were playing there, and I mean, I remember Sabathia was on. CC Sabathia, I think that year, or maybe it was 99, he was on Mahoning Valley, where you are now the manager, of course. And thanks for joining us. Appreciate the time.
Oh, thanks for having me.
How is the, you know, obviously, you know, transitioning now from player, because it hasn't been that long since you've been a player, to being a manager now? I know the season hasn't started yet, but what's that transition like so far for you?
As far as on the field, it's an easy transition. You love the game throughout your career. As you're playing it, you're learning it, you're also teaching it. So that aspect of it is the easy transition. I think where the learning curve comes in is just learning how to just orchestrate a team, just organization. You know, it's like running a business, the type of thing, where it's not necessarily just baseball. It's just kind of setting the schedule, make sure everything runs smoothly. I guess through the process, learning how to be able to communicate with your players. Everybody has different personalities, different needs. It's not just about you for the most part. Right. Even though this is a team game, it's still your career as a player. So now it's about their career and getting them better and getting them to the place where they're striving to be.
You know, when I was, like I said, calling games 20 years ago in the minors, you know, I met some players that cared about whether the team won in the minors and some players that frankly didn't. It was all about, hey, I'm just trying to get to the next level. Is there any balance there? How important is it, if at all, wanting to win at the minor league level versus just, you know, development as a player?
Well, it's a little earlier than the minor leagues, I guess, since this the MLB draft league, the one that I'm managing in, is more for kids trying to make it to that next level.
Right.
Get drafted. I think when you play on a winning program or winning organization, it bodes well for you as an individual as well. Right. You're going to have more eyes on you. You're going to go through the postseason. You're going to face better pitching. You do well there. Then your stock still rises. It's still, even though it's a team sport, it's still individual in some aspects, right? You're individually getting drafted. So you have to go out there. You have to work, try to make yourself into the best individual player that you can be, and that in turn will help the team as a collective group. Now, there are situations within the game that you have to take the team mentality, and then there's other times where you can go out there and play your game and help the team with your God-given ability and your hard work that you put in to enhance that ability. So there's a good balance. And those are things that scouts and organizations look for. Do you have that balance? Are you just a me guy? Are you a team guy? Can you balance those things? So, you know, with that aspect of it, your character as well as your ability. That all plays a part in staying in the game for a long time.
We're talking with longtime big leaguer, now the manager of the Mahoning Valley Scrappers, who formerly in the New York Penn League, now in the new MLB Draft League, as Major League Baseball has streamlined their minor league system. What did you think of what Major League Baseball has done here with the way they've, you know, seriously altered the minor league system? You think it's better for the players? I mean, I know there's less players per system, but in the long run, will it be better for the guys who are there the way they've done it?
To be honest, only time will tell.
Yeah, fair.
You can't foresee the future and know if it's going to be better or not. Obviously, they ran some numbers, and it's in their mind is going to work best. In my mind, it's neither or. You know, I just don't know. It's unfortunate that you know, when you cut back in anything, you know, that's unfortunate. But I mean, we'll see. You know, I'm sure. Well, I hope. Let's put it like this. I hope it works out for the best for everybody.
Right. Sure. Of course. We're talking with Coco Chris. Coco, going back to the early stages of your career, right? You played with Jim Thome. You played with Omar Vizquel. You played with who am I leaving out? Like, you played with CC Sabathia, right? You played with Bartolo Colon. Yeah, Chuck.
Yeah.
What did you learn from those guys? And some of those guys were not old, but Sabathia was an older player, but especially from the veteran players. You know, what did you learn as a rookie with the Indians after you getting traded over and you're making your major league debut? What was that experience like, and how do you use that as a manager now?
Well, you know, you learn different things from different people to grow yourself as an individual, as a ball player. And one of my biggest philosophy is try everything. And throw out the stuff that doesn't work for you. Keep the stuff that does. Not necessarily throw it out. You keep that. You retain it, obviously, because somebody else later on might be able to understand you from that direction, the way that it's described, or they might have to use that technique. But it might not work for you. So you're trying to build yourself into the best player, manager, coach that you're trying to be. So you take in all the information, use the stuff that works for you, and, you know, set aside the other stuff. And being able to play alongside, as a young player, I was very fortunate to be around Jim Thome, who's the nicest freaking guy in the world. It's the most unbelievable thing. I mean, he is nice to me, my parents, the fans. I mean, it just is who he is. I'm seeing the work ethic, not only of Jim Thome, but Omar Vizquel, Alex Burks, the veteran guys, Fryman. You can go, that whole team was stacked with amazing veterans. But Omar Vizquel being in the video room, how he was teaching himself how to be better within the game throughout the season, I learned a lot from that. I didn't know, coming up in the minor leagues, you don't have video equipment like you do in the major league, so I had to learn how to utilize that stuff. And watching those guys go along with their daily routine, their daily schedule of how they learned and try to get better, helped me create a professional schedule for myself. Leading into managing, It's a similar kind of mindset where you're constantly trying to grow, trying to get better as an individual. That way it can exude out to everybody around you and hopefully help them get better.
We're talking with Coco Crisp. He's now the manager of the Mahoning Valley Scrappers in the new MLB Draft League. Coco, obviously, you know, you won a World Series ring in Boston, which was an incredible accomplishment with that team. And then you come back to Cleveland at the end of your career, and you're on the 2016 team. Appropriately enough, the Indians are playing the Cubs today at Progressive Field. That World Series, can you, even though you guys lost and it's heartbreaking, is there an appreciation of how great that series was, like in the history of baseball, or is that impossible to wrap your head around?
No, it was a fun, exciting, amazing, historical playoff series, World Series. You know, even though we lost, I still had an amazing time. Throughout my entire career, I've been blessed, and to be able to come back at the end of my career where I started my major league career and attempt to win a World Series and really have a good chance to do it. You know, obviously we fell short with the Indians, but it was, you know, it was kind of like a storybook kind of a situation without the ending that I really wanted, but it was a great World Series. And my kids kind of still get choked up a little bit. They see it come on. Then my son, he can't even watch it still. It like sits with him. He's here watching it. They know the outcome, obviously. But, you know, it's, you know, as I replay it in my mind, it was a lot of fun.
And you had a great postseason that year. You had two World Series against Boston and Toronto. When Rajay hits the home run off of Aroldis Chapman, like, I mean, what is happening in the dugout at that moment? What's that like, that moment?
Well, the cool thing is I was on the on-deck circle, you know, so I got to see it, like, as close as possible from him being my teammate. You know, I'm right there. And I see him hit it, and he has power, but he just chooses to utilize his amazing speed, right? So when he got a hold of it and it stayed fair, I mean, we were like, oh, baby, here we go, you know? And I was pumped. I came up next and got a base hit. We thought we had a chance. And, then Mother Nature took hold and decided to give them a mental break and let them regroup. But when he hit that ball, when Rajay hit that ball, the atmosphere is already so exciting, you know?
Yeah.
And then when something that magical type stuff happens, then it's just like, you're like little kids, you know? You're like, you get that fire and you start roaring, you know, you just turn it back into like a little leaguer, honestly.
Yeah. That's incredible. We're talking with Coco Crisp. You know, I always get mad when fans are critical of Corey Kluber for Game 7 because you guys do not get to the World Series. You do not, in my opinion, do not get to a Game 7. Your whole starting rotation was in shambles with injuries and he was magnificent. But, you know, what are you going to do? He pitched on 3 days rest a bunch of times. I can't believe people are critical of Kluber. What's your take on that?
Is their right, you know, to be their fans? They love the game, obviously, but you know, it's a tough one. I mean, we go out there, you know, we go out there and try our best. We're not always going to be at our best, but we're going to try, right? As a player, as a manager, as a person who loves their job, right? Yeah. You're always going to try to be your best. And we're going out there competing. Kluber's going out there competing, trying his best. What was it? Dexter hit that leadoff home run.
Yep.
Dexter Fowler. Mm-hmm. You know, you go the opposite way. You go hats off to him, you know?
Yeah.
He connected. Yes. It was a pitch thrown. Obviously, Kluber's up there trying to, you know, strike everybody out, do his job, get ground balls, get out. But Dexter was able to put good wood on the ball, you know? So it's just two guys right at that moment competing, and Fowler ended up winning that battle. But, you know, it's no knock on Kluber or any other pitcher in the World Series or hitter that does bad because they're going out there trying their best. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's a tough game. It is tough. You know, you're not always going to – you're not going to strike out 27. You're not going to hit 5-6 home runs in a game and 5 at-bats. But the fans, they get invested.
Sure.
You know, they get invested. Sure. They get invested. Shoot, I love watching football. I get invested, fantasy football, so I get invested too. So I can understand, you know, a pass down the middle is wide open. You drop it, like, oh, my 20 fantasy points. You know, like
that's right.
So I get the other side of it too. You know, the good thing is when I was with Oakland in the time that I played there, it was really special because I knew a lot of the fans personally. You know, we almost became a family. So there's that aspect where, you know, some of the fans love the game that much that they are part of the team. They're actually, and they are, you know, they're that 12th man. You know, they say, well, for us, it's 10. Football.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, they bring that energy. You know, they can disorientate the opposing team at times, you know. So, you know, they're part of our they're part of our season. They're part of our victories and losses.
What were you thinking when Trevor Bauer is on the mound and the blood is just pouring off his finger? Like, what's going through your head at that moment?
To be honest, I have no, I don't even remember that.
Really?
I don't remember that moment. I do remember, you know, them talking about drones and,
yeah.
you know, finger getting cut and people getting in. And like you said, we're decimated our pitching wise, you know, by injuries and fluky stuff. And, you know, the guys, you know, try to step up and do their best, but, you know, it was tough. But, you know, some guys go out there and play. Well, most guys go out there and play injured, you know. And a lot of times the outside world doesn't know, you know. See, sometimes the organization doesn't know because the player don't tell them, you know. They try to stay in the big leagues. But, yeah, just like Curt Schilling in the bloody sock, you go out there and try to power through, yeah.
Come on, that was ketchup, Coco. You know it.
If we're going to say ketchup, could we at least go hot sauce? You know, make it something sexy?
I'm kidding. Coco, there's not a lot of guys. I mean, it's only been 5 years, but there's not that many guys left on the Indians from when you played. But two guys I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on. Jose Ramirez, who was already a good player by 2016, has become an absolute superstar now. And of course, your manager at the time, and still the manager, Terry Francona. What's your thoughts on both Jose and Tito?
Well, you know, I was fortunate. When you play on the against guys, you don't necessarily get a chance to really see how good someone is. But Jose, I mean, he has the ability to do it all. You know, he's a stocky kid and a little frame somewhat, but he has power, a good back control, good arm, action defensively and everything. You know, and he has the right mentality. You know, I mean, he has swag, right? He has some serious swag out there and loves to play the game. It's fun to watch those type of players that enjoy it, like really enjoy it to like, mm-hmm. like 100%, like love the game. He's right. One of those guys that you can sit back and see that, you know, you see that he loves the game, loves to compete. From Tito, it's just, you know, I've played for a lot of good managers throughout my years. Like I said before, I'm very fortunate the path of my career. But Tito definitely stands out as well as Bob Melvin. Those guys right there are what makes them good is obviously they're very smart. They're very smart. They know the game inside and out. They know how to maneuver within the situations of the game, and it never speeds up on them. Like they're ahead of it. Like good chess players, great chess players. But what takes them to that next level is their ability to communicate with the different personalities on the team, to convey their thoughts on how someone can get better without making them feel a negative response, a negative action, to be helpful, to have the doors open so you feel comfortable communicating with them about yourself and your career. And that's what helps separate them, not only their knowledge and how great they are mentally in preparation and during the game and setting up stuff for after the game, but the communication throughout the whole organization that they're able to give you some comfort with your career.
Right. Coco, last thing. Have you seen the movie Moneyball?
Yes. I was, when they,
okay.
We went to the premiere of it.
Okay.
Because I was in Oakland. Yeah, I was in Oakland.
Right. Cool. So Yeah, so obviously you weren't on the team, though they focused on the 2002 team, but obviously you played for Oakland. Did Brad Pitt play the actual Billy Bean well? What do you think?
I love Brad Pitt. I like him as an actor, you know? I love his story of where he started out and how he became an actor just kind of out of the blue. But I think he did a good job. Obviously, you know, Billy Bean, he's a unique individual. He is. But you know, when I say that, it's in a good way. It's in a good way, not right. In a negative way. He's in the clubhouse. He comes up. He talks to you. He's present as a GM.
Yeah.
Dayton was another guy that was present. With Kansas right. City, I saw him sure. a lot. But Billy, he was in the clubhouse and he was there for you to talk to him. So you know that uniqueness. I personally like, but talking about Brad Pitt, I think he did a good job. You know, I love his acting, I love his movies. So yeah, he did a good job with Billy.
Coco, great stuff, man. Appreciate you reminiscing with us. Good luck with the Scrappers this year. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you for having me.
All right, you too, Coco Crisp.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.